Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And tonight, I am honored to be joined by a good colleague and a frequent show contributor and guest, Miss Esther Lighthorse. And if you want to talk to us, you can reach out to us by calling us at 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And I have the fabulous Miss Esther Lighthorse on the show with me. You can look us up, blogtalkradio.com/smoothdrama. Hit us up, jump in the chat room, talk to us. We look forward to hearing from you. And on that note, how you doing, Esther? Esther?
Me?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm very good. You can't hear me or you can hear me? This phone is ridiculous.
I can hear you perfectly. We had a technical snafu there, but we're here now. So how you been?
It's been some time since I've been. Oh, pretty good, actually. It's been a long time since I've been on the show, but been busy here and there trying to get things done.
Yeah, I hear you. I know you're so busy in Nevada.
Yes, I moved to Nevada from Southern California. I mean, don't think I don't love Southern California. Lovely place. It's just too expensive, you know. You got to give an arm and a leg just to live there on the bad side of town.
Yeah, I understand how that Now, I know we had talked, and I know you wondered, what are your thoughts on this Ebola fear outbreak that's out here now?
Well, I think probably more dangerous than the Ebola itself is all the fear that is starting to build up. You know, all of a sudden people are starting to think, you know, like Stephen King pandemic. What was that book he wrote, The Stand? In like a few weeks, the whole world was pretty much on its knees. But it's not good for these news stations and various groups to report this in such a scary fashion, because it's going to make people do crazy things. People do crazy things when they're afraid, and they need to really get a hold on it. And unless it's pertinent information, they really should keep it to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, because they said, one person had Ebola. And now there's the person that treated that person has Ebola. That's not unheard of.
Right. No, but in the process, they don't tell people the details. Was this person treating the other person before they knew they had Ebola? Were they in the same place? Did they not take precautions? There's so many things that intertwine, but all they want to tell you is, oh boy, another person has Ebola. And so, you know, I heard someone the other day at work, at one of the tables, I work as a blackjack dealer, and I'm listening to people go back and forth about this Ebola thing and how it's, you know, coming to the U.S. and everybody better watch out. And I just think that's ridiculous.
We're
I'm not saying the danger
die.
Of Ebola is not real, but
we're all gonna die.
Yes, people are getting crazy. It's not as bad as Y2K, not yet. You know, where people are digging shelters in their backyards and stocking up on top ramen.
I remember all.
But
them
you don't want it to get to that.
Then people with trucks full of water.
Oh yeah.
I'm like looking like, really? What are you going to do with all that? It was like, it came and it went. You got
3 days
worth of water.
You know, it that Y2K thing, that was almost just as good as any rapture prediction that any group can come up with. Almost as good.
Yeah. Well, you know what was funny, you know, we talked back on W. Fuller, you know, Chris Brown, who I don't really agree with anything he has to say, he got into trouble because Ebola is a form of population control. I'm like, yeah.
Right, sure. Has he not looked at the statistics of health of citizens of this country in America? And what ails us most is not Ebola. It's generally some kind of diabetes or heart disease. So diabetes and heart disease have a much better chance of being labeled as population control than Ebola.
Well, yeah, here in America.
Of course, I guess if you're not. I suppose if you're in Africa, it's something different.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, they got a whole, that's the problem there. Ebola to the flesh eating, the viruses to revolution every 2 months.
Yes, the number of countries in Africa change, you know, yearly. 52 countries, 50 countries, 49 countries, 53 countries. It depends on who's overthrown who.
Yeah, I think he also because he's got like 14 million followers. So he can say something and say something true effect because he fought true effect because viruses, diseases, whatnot, they are a form of population. I believe that's about AIDS forever.
Mm-hmm. Remember what happened to the Native Americans when the Europeans started coming over. In the course of like 150 years, the Native American population in North, Central, and South America dropped by like 90%, and that was from disease. Now that's population control.
Hold on now. We just celebrated Columbus Day. And you know, he was nice enough to come over here and hang out and discover a place where there were millions of people already. I mean, we need to do that. We need to just show up at someone's house that we've never been at and discover it.
That's awesome. That is totally awesome. I hereby discover the White House. It's mine.
Yeah, it's mine. D.C., well, I've been to D.C. I need to discover. Where have I not? I've never been to North Dakota. We're going to discover North Dakota. Bam.
Yeah, but what are the riches of that land there? You got to pick a place to discover. It has a lot of, like, you know, oil or some kind of raw product that you can make money from. Because I'm sure that if the natives had nothing, if this land wasn't worth anything, Columbus would have turned around and gone right back, saying, nah, it's not worth it.
Well, I mean, he was slave trading. Allegedly.
Of course. And not to mention, he didn't even know where the hell he was anyways. He called the people Indians because he thought he was in friggin' India. Apparently he forgot his compass.
Well, none of us will ever confuse him with a Rhodes Scholar.
That's for true. That is for sure. That is for sure.
But I think it's funny. I think it's funny. Celebrated Columbus Day. Well, I didn't celebrate it. But they still recognize this cat.
I recognize that Columbus coming over here was probably the single biggest disaster for Native Americans in North, Central, and South America ever. Even ahead of Manifest Destiny.
I think they were cousins.
Well, kissing cousins, probably.
Yeah, well, they were very intimate. Manifest Destiny was basically the mantra that was used when you can discover a place.
You can discover a place
that
people already live.
Yeah. Well, you live
now
here,
imagine
but,
what people went through. imagine what people would feel like. Okay, we have all these humans on this planet. Obviously, the planet is occupied. Imagine if you get a group of aliens that come over and discover our planet and, you know, just take over and screw the humans that live on it. How would that make people feel?
Well, I mean, we already know how they feel. It, I mean, that don't count. Because the winners are always the writers of history. That's one funny thing.
No, that is true. Speaking of winners, do you think Hillary will make it in the next presidential election? Can she win or will she win?
Well, I mean, these things are already decided beforehand. I mean, our vote means nothing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never had a chance to go to the Electoral College. I mean, I've never got to fight. I mean, I don't know where the campus is. Maybe you can tell me.
Well, I vote in hopes that, and it's a shame because most of the time when I vote, it's not so much who you want to vote for so much as you vote for the person who's the least terrible politician, the one who's done, who has the least criminal record, you know, the one that seems least dangerous. I mean, you want to vote for the best guy, but the best guy never runs. So you just have to vote for whoever's the less of the evil.
Well, I mean, I have to go back to my hip-hop roots. KRS-One was famously said, whether you vote for the lesser of two evils, still vote for evil.
It's just not a...
Well, for me, I look at it like your local election. Those more real than any national election. Your national election.
It's put in by the founding that says Electoral College.
So basically, the general vote is more or less for looks.
Oh, it makes you feel good. I made a difference.
Yes. And that, well, hopefully, you know that the who's that guy, the governor of Texas, Rick Perry.
I hope
he doesn't run. I really hope he doesn't.
Well,
I mean, he's just a real schmuck.
I watch that stuff for the entertainment value. They're kind of funny. I mean, guys aren't smart. So you can watch them and just laugh.
I mean, if I was somebody who got high, I would watch those. That's awesome. And with any luck, the debate would come on at 4:20.
They probably have.
Yeah.
And speaking of, there was one thing I read, the supermarket that changed how they label you know how they would have USDA, and then they would level grade. But that's changed now. They all just say choice.
What's the choice?
Well, it says USDA graded.
And they have no grade A, B, C, or D.
Nope.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's just whatever. Like Taco Bell. 40% meat, 60% special ingredients.
When I was in the military, we called it mystery meat or meat no preference. You're never told what kind of meat it is.
Exactly. And that's what they're doing. USDA choice.
For all you know, it could be kangaroo meat.
Well, I think that's kind of the point, there's no grade on meat. So basically, you just throw a rock into the pot, and like, okay, Maybe that rock's the right one. I'll pick it.
That's just too scary.
I mean,
if they're going to do that to food, you know, sooner or later they're going to start doing that with medication. You know, just put a general thing on it.
Well,
general, people aren't going to care. Well, they'll still buy it.
I think they already do that. I mean, when we talk about food, I mean, there's no designation of whether or not food is GMO or non-GMO.
Don't know.
The growth hormones.
Yeah. So.
You know, what? So, have you ever seen those tomatoes that are grown? They don't call them incubated. There's a certain word for it. Or genetic engineering or whatever. It's supposed to be a bigger, better tomato. And it was. This is how it was advertised in the grocery store. And it was grown a certain way. And I looked at it. It looked beautiful. Perfect color. And I'm thinking, I'm going to try one of these just to see. It had no taste. They got everything right, but it had no taste.
That's why you got to do farmer's market.
Oh, those are wonderful. Either that or grow your own garden.
Yeah, well, I kind of do that, too. I'm 75% there.
75% there.
About ready.
Of which.
Can do my fried green tomato thing.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But focusing back on that meat issue, and you're talking about the description.
I mean, it's scary because you're counting on him being upfront, and as we know,
who are about profit, honest about anything.
Oh, absolutely not. Because there's only one thing that they care about, and it's not the customer, and it's not the product, it's the profit.
Yeah.
That's what they're concerned about. Did you ever read a book by Upton Sinclair called The Jungle? And it's about it's centered around 1900, 1904, and it has a lot to do with the meat packing industry and what they do to the meat and how disgusting it was.
Yeah, that was very good. It's awful thinking about it. I mean, I used to work in the grocery store, so whenever I do anything, I had seen back storeroom sometimes, really scary.
That is not comforting.
Cocktail, the nine and a cup of wine.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F. The M. Word. I'm joined back here with my homegirl, Miss Esther Lightforce, and Lightforce Radio Galaxy.
Smells like.
All right.
Oh, wow. There is a big echo, isn't there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because I don't know how to make that stop. I am not electronic savvy.
It's okay. We'll just press on.
Now we had a little Monday night football game here.
You know what? Let me do this. I think I'm going to move on to the Skype, and hopefully,
we'll stop the echo.
Yeah, that'll stop the echo. Let me get you back on here.
Excuse the technical delay.
We'll get Esther back on here. Because we have to stop the echo. Because the echo was kind of bad. Let me see. Here we go. And can we get Esther in this call here? Where you at, Esther? There you go. Nope. All right. That is not working. We gotta find a way. Can we find a way to get Esther in? Nope. You don't want to do that. So, let me do this. We'll call her back. And again.
Hello. Did it work?
I think I still hear the echo.
Technology is just lovely.
Yeah, we'll just press on.
All right.
There was a little protest going on in Ferguson. Some people may have heard of it.
Where they shot and killed the unarmed teenager.
It's about the protest of life, talking about lives, and I think lives in general aren't regarded by the police, but there seems to be an overabundance of black children, men and women who are being shot. There are no charges that come to police, and it's accepted behavior.
That's just scary. It sounds like something you see in one of those movies about a police state, and there's always one group of people that are subjugated by the rest, and their lives don't seem to matter, and you can just, you know, do with them as you will. That's really scary. What's happening in some places such as Ferguson. I saw it today on Yahoo. Boy, you'd like to think the world is a good place, and I think in general it is, but then you see things like that, and God, your stomach just drops, and what the hell are we doing to each other? What's wrong with people? What happened to that humanity that we're supposed to face each other with? It's just a little scary. Shoot, are you still there? No, I can't hear you. Am I gone? Crap. Goddamn technology. Okay, hold on. Let me call him back.
All right. We seem to be having some technical difficulties here. Sorry about that. Let me see if I can get Esther back on the phone here. Make a call. Let's see what's what. Excuse us, we seem to be having more technical difficulties tonight than usual. If you're listening, Esther, call back 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435, and we can get you back on. And hopefully, we'll be able to work it. And in the meanwhile, it's a shame that we have a situation where, frankly, our lives don't matter. I mean, I'm looking at it like with starting from my early inception in life that my life doesn't matter. I mean, we can be shot at, killed. I mean, you know, for the most part, people look at the Trayvon Martin case, and it's their first experience in the national media. I mean, basically, of a guy getting shot because he was black, you know, because a guy was like, "Oh, he must be doing something wrong," which is a shame, and it's unfortunate that we have that. Okay, and
got it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Glad to have you back, Esther.
Sorry about that. I don't know what the malfunction is.
It's okay. We had a technical snafu. Now we're back. And I was just talking about, you know, piggybacking on what you were beginning to say before we were so rudely interrupted, that we have these issues where people's lives aren't important. And I know for some folks, I mean, there's the racial component. And I think what people don't understand is, yeah, there's a racial component. And then there's the fact that if you think that you're white and if you think that you're white and poor, that they don't think the same thing about you, it's not true. I mean, that you're going to get it too. I mean, the mistreatment of any is the mistreatment of all.
Yeah, so. Well, people are, of course, they're going to say something if they themselves are being mistreated, but there's really seems to be a big imbalance because as soon as they're not the ones that are being mistreated, sometimes people are reluctant to stand up and say something or stick up for someone. You know, so long as it's not touching them or bothering them or interfering with their life, they're good to go.
Yeah.
That I see that as a problem.
Well, I mean, and the major problem here is, you know, as I was stating before, I read an article that they were talking about the past few months, and I'm like, well, I remember Rodney King. I remember there have been so many. I mean, because we focus on the national. I mean, how many of these people, you know, who were shot by the police,
mm-hmm.
or beat by the police, but no reason. And they didn't have the benefit of the camera.
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know. Maybe the police agencies in certain areas, maybe it's kind of like, you know how every now and then someone at the post office goes postal? Maybe that's what happens with police agencies as well. You know, every so often, you know, somebody goes bonkers and makes some really poor decisions. How do you shoot someone who's unarmed in the back?
Well, I mean... I mean, some people would say, well, they do shoot at black targets when they're doing target practice, so it could be something that's ingrained in the head. And also, I question how they pick police officers in the first place, because obviously,
yeah.
there's
some of them
issues.
Don't seem like they should have passed the psychological qualifying test, whatever, because you know they have to take them, and you have to wonder how the heck they passed them.
Right, or they're just like, well, you want to be a cop? Okay, there you go. Because it's like every time we hear, and I'm not gonna say all cops are bad. Obviously, they're not, but we see an overabundance of these cases where they'll shoot and kill someone, and well. Yeah, he was unarmed, but, and then they'll start going into the history of that person. It's like, well, he wasn't doing nothing bad at that particular point in time when you shot him.
Right. But what is that called, a red herring? When they try
to,
you know, throw in some other information that'll make you, or is supposed to make you, see it different, usually from a really tweaked perspective that has nothing to do with what actually happened.
Yeah, and I mean this Ferguson situation has gone to the point where they're riot gear and tear gas. I mean, because the police firing tear gas the other night, just because, you know, the people are protesting. We have the right to live.
Yeah.
So, when you're protesting for the right to be able to feel safe and they make you not safe, I'm like, there's a problem there.
Yes. It isn't, and most of them actually seem like it starts off as, you know, peaceable assembly of people, you know, people from the community concerned. They're coming out en masse to show support for their community issues, and then they're faced by, you know, people who are supposed to serve and protect, and it somehow gets out of hand.
Well, we're talking about people that we pay. I mean, I'm paying you to shoot at me. I'm paying that you to throw tear gas at me. I mean, I think that's the point that's being missed. I mean, because basically you're protesting because you don't feel safe. You don't feel like you're getting the rights that are supposed to be due you as a citizen.
Yeah, well, the police reaction is not something that is very good. It's not, they're not establishing a real good pattern. I'll put it that way. It's not. And if they keep doing things like that, what else do they expect the community to do? If you're harassing or hurting or causing someone to feel great fear, freaking, of course they're going to do something.
Yeah,
especially the people in charge keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there was an incident in New York where a father of six, grandfather of two, he was put on the chokehold during an arrest for selling cigarettes on the sidewalk.
because he was so dangerous. He was so dangerous. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking that that's something where you say, hey, don't sell those here. You got to go. I don't think it requires a chokehold.
No. No, it doesn't. So at which point do these people lose their mental skills, their faculties, that it is that they're there. They're supposed to help them make good decisions. You know,
well,
I'm a police officer. I need to take care of my community. Hey, look, here's grandfather selling smokes. Let's choke him out. Yeah.
Well,
good.
I think it goes back to what we were talking about, that process where the training process, one. Two, how they are viewing the people. I mean, because obviously there's a cultural disconnect because some of us are looked at as criminals just because of a certain
mm-hmm.
look, as opposed to just you judging the person by the strength of their character, and you don't judge a book by its cover. I mean, I think that's what we thought.
Speaking of judging books by their covers, since January, I've taken several flights on airplanes to and fro from San Diego to various places and back to San Diego before I moved to Nevada. And I can tell you, every single time, mind you, I'm Native American. Maybe Native Americans don't have a particular look. Personally, I think they do. But every time I've gotten on a plane, I am pulled aside, and I'm the one who is searched. Remove your shoes, empty everything out of your pockets, all of this, look through my bags. I'm the one they do this to. And I know why. I've had people tell me why. Because I look, they say I look Middle Eastern.
You
and
look
that's
Middle
why they do.
Cold.
That's what they tell me. I look Middle Eastern. I don't see it. You look at my Facebook page or my Google page. Whatever. That's not to say that Middle Eastern people aren't good looking. Uh-huh, yes, I think I'm Middle Eastern. Myself on the back there. But it's just kind of annoying. Every time I go to get on the plane, they pull me aside. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think they look particularly threatening. You know, dressed nice, don't carry gang colors, they're not walking around with bags that look suspicious. I mean, for Pete's sake, I had a book and an iPod. What danger did they see? I'm not sure.
Well, I guess that's one of those. I mean, I remember being in San Diego after 9/11, and I was in East County, and I remember they were beating up on little girls.
Oh, my God.
Because they were Chaldean, and it's like, well, you know, they had nothing to do with what happened.
No.
But that's the ignorance.
Well, you get people so afraid. Like, it was funny how 9/11, in many respects, turned into a religious issue. And then all of a sudden, I mean, not all Muslims are violent. Not all Christians are violent. Not all of anybody is violent. You're going to have a violent element in just about any group you encounter. But because of this ridiculous drive for a lot of Americans to turn this into a religious issue, you had all kinds of Muslims in particular. I remember because I wasn't living in San Diego at the time. And you're right, there were several incidences in East County where there's a large Chaldean community there, and they were being harassed, stores broken into, people beaten up, and just because of this ridiculous fear. And, of course, you know, some of the books that I write have directly to do with religion and the ridiculous things that people do because of religion.
In the name of I'm going to kill you in the name of loving God.
yes, exactly. My God is better than your God. I'm going to prove it with my sword.
Exactly.
Doesn't make sense. Which is interesting. The last book that I recently wrote, it actually took a while, and there's like three or four parts to it, but I put the first part to it on Amazon. And it's called Turkey Broth for the Spirit, Just a Few Questions. And it goes over the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it goes, I went verse by verse by verse and picked out the verses where there were problems and then asked questions. And, you know, and I post those on my blog. And, you know, not one person not one Christian or non-Christian has gotten on that site and left one answer to any of the questions. Not one. Not one. And I don't think they're particularly difficult questions either.
Yeah, well, and see, that would actually mean that you don't fall for the fall into the category of sheep, as we've called it in the past, who follow the party line.
Well, I would, I mean, I grew up Christian, damn near Christian fundamentalist. It was ridiculous for a long time. But of course, now, obviously, I believe otherwise. And I get a wide response of people, from people who no longer wish to talk to me because they don't believe the same way, or people who tell me I'm definitely going to go to hell, and people who, on occasion, are interested in knowing why I chose to believe differently.
Well,
and so basically, that whole book, the purpose is asking, these are the questions that I have. These are reasons why I don't believe, because these things don't make sense.
Well, on that note, I mean, one, tell the people where they can read some of this stuff, where they can catch up to Esther Lighthorse.
Well, if you go on Amazon and you type in Esther Lighthorse, all of my books will come up. There's 9 of them. Some of them have to do with religion, some of them don't. Some of them not even close. There's one, All the Fish in the Sea, that one has to do with dating. Absolutely nothing to do with religion. But the most recent one, the one with the questions of the Pentateuch, that I ask questions, and I purposely do not give my own answers because I want to hear people's answers. So how much time do we have left? I want to ask a few questions and see if anyone will call in.
I think we can be on all night. Nobody will call in to...
remember the lady who called in last time?
Yeah.
She seemed a little wound up.
Well, I mean, but see, that's the thing. If you, when you question people's ingrained beliefs, I mean, they don't want to answer, because that would mean you have to look into it. Because people are easy to follow, but in order to lead, you have to actually have done some research and not just. Well, I guess you could just spit the party line. You just listen to somebody else. But, I mean, you got to know what you're talking about. And I think a lot of times people are more accessible to just, hey, I'm going to spit what everybody else spits. And it sounds good. It worked for everybody else. It'll work for me, too.
Yeah, it took a long time, and I went verse by verse. Of course, there's no need to question each verse, because some of them are just, there's nothing there that deserves questioning. But there were so many questions, especially when I got to Deuteronomy. Oh, my goodness. And not one person has left an answer. Not one. And actually, there were so many questions in the Pentateuch alone. That's why I had to publish that one as just the first volume. Because the next volume is the rest of the books of the New Testament. And it's just riddled with questions. These are reasons why I don't believe, and not just me, but other people who either never believed and continue to choose so, or who used to believe and now have decided differently. Because there's just things that just don't jive. They just don't. Some of the content is absurd, cruel, contradictory, subject to vast misinterpretation. And for many individuals, they simply cannot allow themselves to squander their precious stores of belief on something that demands absolute devotion, despite questions and inconsistencies that have long plagued such a system of belief.
And on that note, tell the people, before I let you go here, tell the people where, if they want to, if because some people won't, they're not going to go to Amazon. So if they wanted to talk to Esther, where can they catch you?
Well, if they would like to, they can go to Google, excuse me, and type in Esther Lighthorse, and all of my blogs will come up. There's many, many, many of them. Many of them. And everything from books, questions for books in the Bible to I have links to various things on YouTube where you can see people answering questions like why was there incest in the Bible? you know, I always wondered, one of the questions I put in my book had to do with Cain. After he kills Abel, God banishes him, right? And makes him a fugitive and a sojourner. So the verse says, you know, Cain takes off and he gets married. And one of the questions I asked is, how come the Bible doesn't say which of his sisters or nieces he marries? There was clearly no other people.
Exactly. Who is not to touch him? You remember, no one is to touch Cain. I'm like, well, it's only like three people on earth.
Yeah. So who did he marry? I'm curious to know, which of his sisters or nieces did he marry? And then go a few verses down, and it says he founds a city. Well, you just said that freaking Lord God made him a fugitive and a wanderer. So if he's a fugitive and a wanderer, per God's instruction, how the hell did he stay anywhere long enough to found a city?
Yeah.
Well, are they not reading the previous verses that they wrote?
Yeah. On that note, we're going to have to let you go. I want to thank you for coming on. And, of course, extend the invitation because we got to do this again.
Yes, I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. I don't know what the deal is with the phones.
Hey, it happens, but, you know, we still here, and we still got to do it, and we definitely going to do this again. Ms. Esther Lightfoot, you take care, and we will talk again very soon. We'll definitely have you back on again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate your time. Thank you, and you have a good night.
You too.
All right. And that, my friends, was Miss Esther. I'm saying Lester. I'm tripping. Esther Lighthorse. One of my favorites. Because she just, we think alike. Sometimes the truth is an inviting thing. And some people, they don't like to be invited to the truth. Why, I don't know. But maybe we'll figure it out someday. But right now, we're going to go on break. And since we're going on break, we're going to talk about this world. This is Jean Grey, This World.
Acting crazy now, I'll be doing genie until fades out. Y'all wanna
Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Jean Grey off her album Genius. That was This World. Y'all want to let me in? Then you want to change me up? I mean, great lyrics right there. Some folks get it, some folks don't. And speaking of letting you in, but wanting to change you up, there was a little protest. It's been going on for a while about the Washington Redskins. A group of folks who were tailgating at the Cardinals game of the night, Phoenix Cardinals, well, Arizona Cardinals now, and they want the name change. Now, Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, obviously, he's not even thinking about changing the name. I mean, for him, he's like, well, I'm sitting with the chief, meaning he gave the chief a sizable donation. And it's supposed to, and you think that you throw money at the problem and people don't want the name, and obviously it's an underrepresented group. We talk about Native Americans who, quite frankly, this country has shitted on since the inception of America as a country, as a manifest destiny country in its inception. So the fact that they don't want to listen to the people that they're slandering, and whether or not you agree, yay or nay, the people who are a part of that culture feel like they're being slandered. So obviously, if the people who are part of that culture feel that way, it is so. They feel offended. Now, I go back to what we were talking about earlier. Me and Miss Lighthorse, we talked about how, you know, the protests and the lives and how black lives mean nothing. And see, here's where there's the line. You have Ferguson protesters who are saying, hey, we have the right to live. We have the right to feel safe. We feel like you don't value our lives, so you shoot us. Like they're going hunting. I mean, it's almost like the movie The Purge, where it's just like you just go out, pick someone and shoot them. Now, these cases may not necessarily be similar, but they have a certain ring to it. You have a group of people who feel like they're being disrespected because you have this name, you have this logo, and you have a connotation that they don't appreciate. And I humbly suggest you draw on what we're talking about in protesting in Ferguson, and you know, people like myself who support it all over the world, who like, hey, I should be able to walk down the street and not feel like I'm a target. Like somebody's gonna shoot at me or my son, niece, nephew, daughter, cousin. It shouldn't happen. We shouldn't feel like our life is on the line because society on the whole doesn't value us as a people, as a culture. And coincidentally, its citizens look at us differently and don't value us as a people or a culture. And I think that's that's what's missing here. I mean, because it's just it's a societal issue, and it's filtered down to the quote unquote protectors of society's norms, and since we don't fit in that characteristic of norms and culture that is what you would say acceptable, we're expendable. And that is not okay. Now, if we have a situation where start shooting officers and you start shooting people in the quote unquote dominant culture, it would be mass riots everywhere and folks would say we're the criminal element. But I put this question out here, and this is how I end. Do you respect us if we don't shoot back? If we don't protest? Or do you respect us if we do? I mean, it seems either way, there's no respect being showed. And, you know, Malcolm X put it best when he said after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the chickens came home to roost. And as sure as the sun goes up and the sun goes down, the chickens will always come home to roost. So you put out a violent cultural stigma, it comes back to you. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N-word. It's a smooth drama, and I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.